Hello, and thanks for joining us for the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Greg Stanford, the digital minister of the 10th and Broad Church. Let's get ready now for Greg's message. As I said, my name is Greg Stanford, and I'm the digital minister here. And I will confess, for the last 25 years, I've taught kids. And probably five times in those 25 years, I've stood in front of an adult audience. And so it's always a little different. It's always a little intimidating. I'm used to teaching with puppets and speaking for about 5 minutes and then doing a game. And so speaking for an extended period of time in front of you is an honor, but man, is it different. But I've transitioned into something different. I spend my time now as I move into digital ministry trying to figure out what that really means. I work on websites. Lately, I've been doing a lot of things trying to fix broken emails and software that doesn't work, probably a lot of things that we struggle with at home. It just kind of gets a little bit bigger when you do it in an organization. But I'm excited to see what God can do with technology as we move forward into this digital world that we're living in. Because it's not slowing down, it's only going to get bigger. Let me first apologize to our tech people in the back. If you've ever worked with me in KidZone, you know I struggle staying with my notes. I love to use media, and sometimes when I get off my notes, they kind of get in a panic, right, Alex? Yeah, so I will get back to my notes at some point if I get lost. I've already done that. Okay, as I said earlier, the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at redeeming the screen, and so this morning I get to kind of wrap it up. We looked at how sometimes our screen, our technology, kind of masters us. Our time gets wasted, time gets spent. It just kind of takes over our life. But this morning, I want to look at technology a little differently. I want to look at how we can use technology to further God's kingdom. When we look at technology, I think we often limit ourselves to things like computers and robots. But technology, it's a little bit more than that. Basically, if you take everything that God has given us in its raw, basic elements, and you put them together in a format that gets things done and makes lives easier, that's technology. And so when you look at technology in this basic viewpoint, we've been using technology for a long, long, long time. In Genesis chapter 4, we're told about a man named Jubal. He was Cain's great, great, great grandson. He was the father of all who play the harps and the flutes. But in the next verse, we read about a man named Tubal-Cain. And it says that he made tools out of copper or bronze and iron. My understanding, that's quite a ways before the Iron Age. God had already gifted men with the ability to make tools and those kind of things. Skip ahead into the Old Testament, we see that Noah and his family built a boat, not a rowboat, a massive boat using God's plans. In Exodus 31, we see God filling a man named, I cannot pronounce his name very well, Bezalel. God did not gift me with the ability to use languages. But he did give this man with the ability to do crafts. He gave him the ability to do metallurgy and stone cutting and woodworking and all kinds of things. His helpers he gifted with the ability to make cloth and clothing and incense and anointing oil, all to build the tabernacle, God's place of worship for the Israelites for the 40 years they wandered and beyond until God, under Solomon's oversight, built God's temple. Technology built the ark, it built the temple, but also built the tower. In Genesis 9, we see the end of Noah's story, but in Genesis 11, we see the rise of a tower. The function of the tower was to draw every eye to it and every eye to the city, and specifically the leaders of that city, the city that we call Babel. God was unhappy, to say, put it lightly. Not because the tower necessarily was evil. I mean, it was a tower. No, it was the fact that the hearts and the desires of these men were building it because they thought they were more important than God. And because of this, God changed their languages and he scattered them across the face of the earth. It wasn't because of how tall the tower was, it was because of their hearts. It all came down to the purpose of their technology. So can technology really be used to honor God and further his kingdom? Let's look at that. My first real memory of technology in church beyond light switches and air conditioning came when I was in early elementary school, probably like kindergarten. At the time, my family was attending a little bitty Church of Christ. There was two bathrooms, an auditorium, and some pews, and that was about the gist of it. We played on a tree, the only tree on the property, or out on the sign by the edge of the highway, the same sign where we got our spankings when we misbehaved, because if you got spanked in the bathroom, it echoed throughout this little church. Yeah. But you know what was a neat thing? It was a simple place, a place to grow and to learn. When meals on the ground meant putting up tables in the parking lot, when work days, everybody got together and worked. That work day, one of those, is where I got my first electric drill as a little bitty kid. Now, of course, it didn't work, but let me tell you, that drill, it did not look like today's drills. It was not plastic with a battery. This thing was a man's drill. It was metal and bulky. It had a big long cord on it. It was awesome. It was a ray gun, really. I will tell you this, though. If you're climbing across the top of the monkey bars and you have that ray gun in your hand and that cord in your mouth and you drop that gun, yeah, you get to visit the tooth fairy. Yeah. Just saying. But that's not the technology that I remember as an early elementary kid. Because, see, from that little bitty church, we came to this church for something. I don't really remember. It was a wedding or a funeral or an event or something. All I remember is I was sitting in that big green auditorium that was green at the time with those big stained glass windows, and some guy got up and had the audacity to use a microphone in church. I could not believe that. From my little bitty church, we didn't have a microphone. But you know what? I realized pretty quickly that without that microphone, we would never have heard the message that was spoken. That microphone was basically a way to communicate for God's message. I can't say that was my earliest exposure to technology at church, but it was the earliest one in my memory. Think about some of the experiences you had early on. How about flannograph? At some point, that was new technology. I mean, we're still using it from time to time. It's probably new technology to some of our kids, but it was new. How about film projectors? Okay? Yeah. Anybody remember turning the knob at the advancement of the little chime for film projectors? That was new technology. If you've never seen a film projector, kids, think PowerPoint without a computer. Okay? And I was old enough, mature enough, that we weren't using records. We had tape players, cassettes. And so when the chime went on, you advanced the knob physically to the next picture. New technology. There were overhead projectors. And wait a minute. Okay. I want to show this picture. Raise your hand if you can tell me what they're doing in this picture. What are they smelling? The mimeograph. That's right. Those weird bluish purplish copies that we had that had a smell that you can probably still smell now as I talk about it. That was new technology. Yeah. And that kind of dates me now. As you think about overhead projectors and cassette players and records, but now CDs and DVDs. You know, it makes me think too, because I bought a bunch of cassette tapes years ago to give away, only to realize when I got them that our kids didn't have tape players anymore. Technology continues to advance and to grow. New technologies like live stream and virtual reality and smart devices, music streaming and video streaming. I've always enjoyed technology and the gadgets and the things that go on. But you know, things are not always good with technology. For the last 10 years or so, I've had the chance to speak to a class at Midwestern with Ted's Crimes Against Children's class, talking about crimes against kids using the internet. And let me tell you, the prep for that stuff is horrible. The stuff that goes on in our world with technology is horrible. How could this technology possibly be used for God's kingdom? I think the reality is that in a fallen world, everything that has been and will be created can be used for either good or for evil. And so often our focus is on the negative, how the enemy has thrown another curveball at the world with the last bit of technology. But let's look at some ways that we can take this tool from the devil and use it for God's kingdom. All right, so what we need is a focus. So Matthew 22, 37 through 40 is going to be the focus that I'm going to give you this morning. And it reads, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, and the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So love God and love others. I want that to be your focus this morning as we think about using technology to further God's kingdom. How do we love God? We obey his commands. How do we love others? We love them like Christ loves us. These two commands will be our portal or our filter on how we use technology or maybe how we don't use technology. We've heard about how easy it is to let our screens pull us away from God. But when we moderate what we do, we have before us at our fingertips and our phones some incredible tools for God's kingdom. There are Bible apps, there are study aids, there are prayer reminders, there are apps that help us remember to read our Bible as we progress through it from day to day and year to year. Did you know that 10th and Broad has a subscription to a service that you have access to for free? It's called Right Now Media. Right Now Media has over 20,000 video-driven Bible studies by some of the leading speakers in our country and in our world. Right Now Media is basically a Netflix of Bible studies. I'm going to show you a promo for this and entice you to think about if you haven't already signed up for this, because it's free to sign up for Right Now Media. Check this out.
Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John.
I have fallen in love with the work of Paul as I've studied the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe you will too.
This is where Jesus taught in Capernaum, and you have to understand this scene.
The Lord is my shepherd. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look deeply into the 23rd Psalm.
Right Now Media. It's for groups. It's for personal devotion. It's for parents.
The bullseye of parenting is to raise children who become like Jesus.
It's for kids.
This is Phil. We're digging into the Bible, which, as we've mentioned, is more than just a book.
It's for tough times.
So when you recognize that you're trying to have a conversation with your spouse and they're not ready to talk, it's not helpful to keep pressing
right.
them.
It's for every phase of life.
If you've made mistakes with money, you know what that makes you? Over 12.
And now, it's yours. We've purchased a Right Now Media subscription for everyone in our church. So check your inbox for the digital invitation and download the app for instant access to thousands of biblically based videos. Get equipped. Get inspired.
Okay, you're not going to get an invitation because we did that a long time ago. But I will say, if you go to the 10thandbroad.org website, and go to the members section. Whether you're a member, a visitor, or watching online, sign up for Right Now Media. At your fingertips will be over 20,000 different Bible studies. There are programming for kids. There are things for marriages and for parenting, and you name it, it is available, and it's free for you. So use this technology if you need it. If you can't get signed up online, give me a call in the office. I'll help you. Today we've got so many different tools available to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. You know, I've heard that Jesus probably came at the specific time that he came because at that point the ancient Romans had taken over much of the world, and Greek was almost a universal language. Today there are, my understanding, over 7,000 languages spoken on this world as a whole. You know, the challenge in the past has always been getting a Bible printed and translated and into the hands of people. But you know, now with our smartphones, you can download free Bible apps that put the Word of God before people. The YouVersion Bible, which probably a lot of us have, it's a free Bible app, has over 1,800 Bible translations available. I've heard of refugees and Muslim refugees that could not get Bibles when they found out that on their smartphone, and yes, refugees have smartphones, okay, that's the reality of our world, but they could download God's Word in their own language on their phone. Correspondence-based Bible studies, like World Bible School, that used to rely on the postal service, now can be done online. What used to take weeks or months to communicate with people now can be done almost instantly. The video services like Skype and Zoom, you've probably experienced that. You can now virtually see people eye to eye when you've been separated from long distances. You know, it wasn't too long ago that the idea of sharing something with somebody else was just unheard of. I remember, and I can't even remember the date, but one of our older members passed away and he had family in another country. And there was no way they could get to the service, and so they called on a telephone, the wired ones that still plugged into the wall, and wanted to know if there was any way they could hear the service. And so the staff thought and thought, and you know what we ended up doing? The family called the church right before the service. We took the receiver and we duct taped it to a microphone stand and we hung it up by the speaker and we translated. We did our first international funeral service back who knows when. And they almost got to hear all of it. Think how far we've come now. Do you know that this church has had sermons available for decades? First with cassette tapes and then with CDs. And in 2008, I uploaded our first digital podcast, our first digital sermon, and now we have almost, actually over 940 sermons online, just from our congregation. In 2009, we uploaded our first digital sermon, and now we have almost 740 of those available. Our technology has expanded our world so far, but what it has allowed us to do is connect with people, sharing with the love of the Lord in ways that we probably never could have thought about when we were still talking on corded phones hooked to the wall. COVID pushed us even further. I mean, we had talked about live streaming, but it's a daunting idea back several years ago. There's even a computer sitting around somewhere that we planned to do it once we figured it all out. But when COVID hit, we had to do it. In fact, I think our first live stream was probably done on Wendell's cell phone, if I remember right. We've come a long ways, and it's thankful to the people in the back. David Preston, who runs our live stream, does an incredible job. Debbie and Jacob, who run our sound and our PowerPoint, our media, not just in here, but also online, have taken our ability to communicate with people and share the gospel beyond our walls. It's just incredible. Do you know, Sunday mornings are not the only time that we can share the love of God with people, and you don't even have to be paid on staff to do it. You don't need a multi-camera, mixer, microphone, monitor set up to do it. When your focus is on loving God and loving others, you may just be surprised how God can use you. Check out this video from our brothers at the Hills.
So at our house we have 2 dogs, 8 chickens, a couple thousand bees. But if you really want to find out where my son is, go see if he's playing Fortnite. I was heading home from work one night. I remember Phoenix giving me a call. He decides to tell me about his friend, Ian. So he's gotten several of his friends to come and he wanted to bring Ian to church. So he is talking to him on the game, and, you know, and they converse back and forth through their headsets. And he said he was talking to Ian about church and everything. And I guess Ian's mom had overheard what they were talking about.
And again, because I started having this need to go back to church. And then they were playing Fortnite, and then Ian came into the room where I was and said, "Hey, Mom, you know, my friend wants to know if I can go to church with him tonight." And I'm like, "Well, what friend?" And he's like, "Phoenix." I'm like, "Well, what church?" And he's like, "The Hills." Finally, Ian gets on his, you know, hits the speaker button and allows me to talk to Phoenix myself. And then I started asking Phoenix a ton of questions. I want to be baptized. I need to be baptized, but I don't know how to go about doing it.
Me and his mom started talking about baptism and my faith and the Hills and how we grow and make followers of Jesus.
It seems just so random that you're on the phone with your friend's mom while playing Fortnite talking about faith.
And then when I got off the phone with him, I got online and to the Hills website and just read everything. In less than an hour, I had read everything. I had looked at every single video. And one of the videos was Pastor Atchley and Taylor Walling talking about baptism.
The first day we walked into the Hills, we walked in, and it was just like home. I've never had a feeling like that before walking into any church.
And we began conversations with them about faith and about what baptism is, who the Hills really is and what we're about. And through all of this working that God was doing, Rick and Carol decided to give their life to Christ at the Hills right before we moved to our new building. And so it was one of those really cool moments where you see the faith of your children impact how you live your life and maybe challenge even you a little bit to do some more about it.
So you can be young inviting someone older, or older inviting someone young, and it doesn't really matter about age. It just matters about how Jesus is inviting everyone.
My son playing a video game with one of his friends was the last place I thought that we'd ever find a way to church.
It's been a blessing. It's amazing how he can communicate with you when you don't even know you're expecting it.
Isn't that cool? God can use a video game, two kids playing, to bring a family to faith. It's just amazing to me. You know, we love a God, we serve a God, and we love others in whatever environment we're in. And it doesn't matter where we're at. We have those opportunities before us. Speaking of loving others, I think one of the biggest impacts that we can have for the kingdom of God isn't necessarily in a Bible study or at a church event, but in our day-to-day interactions with people. When it comes to technology, nothing speaks louder than our comments and our posts online. And I could do a pretty big rant right now about Christians' posts and comments. But you know what? That's not what this is about. It's about how we can use what God has given us to share with other people. Because, you know, generally there's nothing more disheartening than the comments on a video or on a post. And it doesn't matter how cute or how innocent something is or how wholesome it is. You can expect just nastiness. Someone's going to pick apart your parenting or find some hidden political bias on the color of Play-Doh that you have or just show hate and vulgarity. And then there are the posts from the non-Christians. You wouldn't think children's ministry groups would get nasty, but I've seen arguments flare up, posts get nasty over crazy of things. You know what? I'm right, you're wrong. That's not how it is. It's just crazy. And you know what? The honest truth is none of it really mattered. Again, what is our focus? Love God and love others. Here's the guide I want to share with you to help you with your comments and your posts. And you've probably heard this before. It's 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Can you take those verses and use them as a guide to your posts and your comments? I hope so. I tried to build some clever things to use this morning, and they turned out to be a little more cringy than clever, but I'm going to share them with you anyway. Love is patient, even when they don't return my text right away. Love is kind, even when they don't like what I've said or posted. Love doesn't flex. I know. If you don't know what that word means, anybody over 40 shouldn't use that word. Okay? Love doesn't put others down. This caught me for a second. All right, think about this. Jesus had 12 followers, right? One was a Jewish sellout, one was a terrorist, if you think about it. Simon was a zealot. He was so full of hate towards the Romans and even Jews who worked for Romans that he basically was a terrorist. I mean, the zealots were just a violent group of people. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew worked for the Romans. He took money from the Jews and he kept some for himself. That's how he made money and how he got rich. Can you imagine the first night around the campfire with Matthew and Simon and the rest of the guys? I can imagine it would have been crazy. What made a difference was the presence of Jesus. That's what changed the conversation. Okay, back to the list. Love is not all about me. Love is not easily riled up even when someone offends me or insults me. I'm going to say that one more time. Love is not easily riled up even when someone offends me or insults me. Love does not keep count of how many times they wronged me or disliked my video. You get the picture. Love God, love others. I'm amazed how far technology has come in my lifetime. From phones bolted to the wall with cords to phones in our watches. Computers have gotten faster and smaller. They say that the clock on an iPhone is thousands and thousands of times faster than the guidance computer that sent people to the moon. Think about that. Camera and video qualities are amazing. Opportunities are before us, and the connectivity with others is incredible. Does the screen replace the face-to-face, in-person relationships with friends and family in the church? No. There are tools. Tools to reach out to others when we can't be face-to-face. Definitely. As with all things, moderation is key. Technology really is a gift from God. Evil twists things all the time. But that doesn't negate the positive we can do with technology. It all comes down to us and how we use it. It comes down to what our filter is when we post and when we comment online, what music we choose when we make TikTok videos. What is our filter? I've got one last scripture I want to share with you. This is from Colossians 2, 13 through 15. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The cross. The cross was the worst human technology in the world at that time. It was designed to torture and to kill someone in the slowest and most agonizing way possible. But God repurposed it. He redeemed it for his purpose. What once brought death now brings life. What once brought hopelessness now brings hope. If God can redeem the cross, he can redeem our screen. Question is, how will we use it? Love God and love others. Would you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunities you put before us to show the love that we have for you and the love that we have for others. Lord, whether that's in person or online, whether that's by video or by letter, by text or by email, we pray, Lord, that you would help us further your kingdom by showing our love in the things that we do. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities again. We thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.